Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What it do, baby? It's the Prejudice Seekers podcast. I've got somewhat of a throwback one today. An episode all the way back from March when I went to Nashville, hung out with my buddy Matt Wirtz. Matt Wirtz, you probably know from years and years and years of acoustic adult pop alternative. Not sure how you classify his music, but he's got a ton of hits. He's really talented in the music department, but is also incredibly thoughtful, loves coffee, loves bourbon, and is a close friend of mine. And he was kind enough to not only host me at his house, but also spend some time on the podcast. So this will be an entertaining one for you and will be a different perspective than maybe a preacher, pastor, or maybe even some of the comedians I've had. So sit back, relax, and chill with me for about an hour or so and enjoy my conversation with Matt Wirtz. One other thing, if you haven't subscribed to the Preachers and Sneakers podcast on Apple Podcasts, do so now. Take a second, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review if you like the podcast. And I really appreciate you doing that. I've enjoyed getting to know all the new listeners and all the new subscribers over the past few months. So keep it up. And if you want more content, be sure to head on over to Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Preachers and Sneakers, preachersandsneakers.com, all that good stuff. Big shout out, as always, to my homie SJ for providing the intro and ad music. Follow him on Instagram, at HereIsSJ. As well, check him out on Spotify, iTunes, all that. SJ, as well as his other band, Lev, with Audrey Assad, which is super smooth as well. Super grateful for his music and him being willing to let me use it for this amateur podcast hour that I do every week. So big shout out to SJ for that. Okay, enough of the chatter. We're getting to my conversation with Matt Wirtz. Enjoy. I'm just going to hit record and we can talk here. So I'm sitting here with my buddy Matt Wirtz, who you've probably heard over the years as one of the most sought after adult contemporary pop fusion artists.
You probably heard me like way long time ago.
And we're sitting at his house because I couldn't afford coffee. And so he offered to make me a coffee in turn to give him some exposure to my audience.
You also couldn't afford a studio, apparently. Because yeah. Here we are in my dining room.
Yeah. A dining room or real mics or real setup or anything.
So do you like put like a voice like a voice encoder or something over your voice to make you sound like you're in police protection?
Yeah, I mean I switch up the voices each time between high and low, but it's kind of like the what was that, V for Vendetta type thing.
Nice.
The whole full mask and everything.
That's cool. Wait, people still don't know who you are?
Mm-mm. No, so, I mean, there's more and more people that do. And if people really wanted to find out who I was, it'd probably be pretty easy. But yeah, as of now.
So should I call you Tom or like Dan?
Most people call me Tyler.
Tyler.
Which is the worst.
Tyler?
Yeah, it's the worst. I mean, it's my own doing because a journalist very early on named Whitney Bauch at Fashionista gave me that name because I was like, I don't know what's happening. Right. I'm probably going to be anonymous. And so she gave me that name and I just stuck with it instead of being like,
Yeah, my name's Bear Death Dealer.
Like Dragon, Dragon Slayer.
It's such an opportunity to have a badass name.
Oh, man.
I got
that
the
would
whitest,
be so dope.
Most terrible name ever. So.
Oh, God. Well, next time.
We're here.
Next time you start a viral Instagram.
Yeah, my next go around, I would totally sign up for this again. Your name is Matt. So
my name's Matt.
It's biblical.
Thanks to my parents.
Not from
Matt
your lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm stuck with this. No. Oh, I was told early on that my name means gift of the Lord. And so
how has that played out for you so far?
Look at me, man.
I am. And I
can see.
I'm really giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, thank you. No, I mean, they definitely, like, Matthew was a, I mean, granted, it was a popular name in 1979, which was the year I was born.
Wow.
I just turned 41.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
I missed it.
I'm starting to feel it.
Oh, are you? A few aches and creaks?
Yeah, I start, in the metabolism is like, it's like left the building. It's like, yeah, we had a good run. We're going into retirement. We don't know.
And you haven't even like
good luck. Good luck.
You didn't
luck
play
out
any
there.
Softball or anything. You just wake up with just pure pain, having not done anything.
My body feels pretty good, except for how hard it is to put my jeans on.
Ooh.
Which is that's the only way I know, because I don't weigh myself. I don't.
Nor
like,
should you.
Yeah.
Because you don't like depression.
No. I put my clothes on, and I'm like, oh, that
used feels to, different.
That used to be, like, they used to fit. Actually,
it used to fit really well. Actually, yeah. I've pretty much completely upgraded to elastic because,
well, it fits with the whole sneaker thing. Yeah. I've noticed that, like,
it does buy in. Yeah, the lifestyle does benefit. Like, the benefit of the lifestyle is that you can wear workout clothes.
You have to wear joggers with the majority of the sneakers, on
specifically
the
Mack Weldon joggers. If you use the code PREACHERS at checkout for 10%.
Oh, nice. I wear Mack Weldon underwear.
Oh, do you really?
There
That's
you go,
what
ladies.
I'm wearing right now.
Dude, isn't it great?
The Ace Pants, yeah.
Do you know those guys?
I do, yeah.
Sick.
They're one of the sponsors.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, but that one's for free. I don't think this one will, unless they order more ads, this one won't technically be sponsored by them. But yeah, they sent me a bunch of stuff.
Man, I love their
draws.
Their briefs, their boxer briefs. They're awesome.
And they let you... You can try them on and keep them even if you don't like them.
Yep. So I guess that's good. I guess.
They yeah. Good thing they're not taking returns from try it on.
No, but I definitely did think like, that's pretty cool. You know, like they, I got one free pair out of that deal, but they were too small. So it's like, what are you going to do with pair of underwear? That's
like, I don't really want to keep these. There's a reason I wanted to return them.
Yeah. Okay. So, but I do want to talk about that with sneakers because like, what's the deal with, like you have to, like, I don't really wear joggers. I went through that phase 2014,
mm-hmm.
2013, 2014 was like heavy on the, I was
when Bieber
embracing
started wearing
fully
them.
The like fashion sweat thing, sneakers, all that.
The
thing.
Dumpy pants.
Yeah. I'm a Lululemon guy.
Oh,
so,
are you?
And
so you're privileged.
I'm privileged. They hooked me up early on.
Oh, really?
I got
corporate or like a retail store here?
There's a retail store and they were starting a, they're trying to boost their men's, just the awareness of their men's line. And I was already like a freaking card carrying Lululemon member. You know, I was like, I already bought stuff. And so they kind of rounded up a handful of like influencers,
men with great bodies
in Nashville. It was local to Nashville, but I got $1,000 Lululemon gift card.
Wow.
And that thing was
awesome.
You
got three pairs of shorts.
I got three pairs of shorts and a pair of socks.
Wow. Yeah. Their stuff is great. I mean, real
it's
talk.
So good.
Like, I mean,
it's
it
so
is
good.
Incredibly expensive, but there is.
The fit is amazing. The material's amazing. I don't want to badmouth anybody, but here we go.
Come on.
I really want to like Outdoor Voices because I like the brand. It's a cool.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have gifted me some things.
Oh, have they?
And they're getting better. Their fit's getting better.
Shouts out to Outdoor Voices.
Outdoor
Austin
Voices
based.
Too. Yep. Tyler Haney, I think is her name.
She's crushing it and she's like super young.
She's young. Yep. The thing is this.
I'm trying to get some of those Hokas. They did a deal with Hoka and they made some fresh all white Hoka sneakers, Outdoor Voices branded.
Oh, sick.
I'm trying to get my wife some of those.
That's,
anyways,
amazing.
I interrupted you.
No, I will just say this. The fit and the material, it feels like they're making fashion, fashion clothes and not clothes for actually like exercising in. And I'm looking.
In what way?
I'm an active guy and I want the material being like really good and wicking, and then also like it fitting in a way that like doesn't, you know, crowd your junk.
Yeah.
You
know? So you're saying it's a little slim.
Side. Yeah. Like not taking into account like anatomy.
Dad bods.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have a dad bod. I'm just saying.
I'm getting there, man.
No, I mean, I'm there
just,
too.
I'm just missing a child.
I can't buy a single thing in like H&M. Got it. Their supply chain probably employs children, but just the fit of all that stuff. I mean, I'm a bigger dude. Can't wear any of it.
Yep.
And so I'm with you. I haven't tried any Outdoor Voices stuff, but apparently a lot of people like it.
It's cool. I mean, it's very.
And they sent you some stuff?
I ran into these. They were opening down the street from me. They have a store like around the corner, and I'm pumped that they're in the neighborhood. I'm like, I'm a fan of the brand, and I'm rooting for them, and I want the. And I ran into some women with hats on like the day before they released, they opened. So I was like, hey, you guys with Outdoor Voices? Cause I'm like, and they're
this
like,
is my
yeah.
Chance.
And so, I think she must've, noticed me or something. Cause I got a DM or something from them. And I was
sweet.
Like, yeah. And I'd love to come down and check out the store. And they're like, come on down. So I did. And I was honest with them. Like, hey, I told them everything I just told you, and they're like, we're working on it. We know. Let us send you some stuff.
That's
dope. I'm like, great. So what I love
at that point, they knew who you were.
Somebody
like they knew that you had a following.
Somebody that was like opening the store did. That's probably it. I can't imagine. I don't assume anything anymore. Back in 2005 and 6, like I'm so glad that I don't have this disease anymore, but I would walk into coffee shops in Nashville and just kind of assume that people were looking at me and knew who I was.
Not in a cock. Well,
it was cocky.
It was cocky, but it's also a fact.
Maybe. Yeah. Because people would come up. I don't have that anymore. And,
but that's probably
and it's
a better
great.
Place to live.
I am happy to not have that.
And I think most people that go through fame probably prefer that, right? Unless you're sadistic.
I don't know. It's funny though, man, because like
there are perks.
There is this thing. You know what I realized that I've missed? Because I'm like, you know, I'm not the hot thing anymore.
You are still, to me.
Thank you. I'm still hot.
Absolutely.
As like a man.
Yes. No, a man's man.
I'm like a hot man.
Maybe the hottest. Yeah.
But you'll realize this. People will like use you and you hate it until it goes away. And then you realize, oh, people aren't using me anymore.
I'm not wanted anymore.
I'm not even good enough to use.
People
anymore.
Used to think I was hot shit.
No one finds me valuable enough to use me. That's when you know you're sick.
That's when you know you need to go to therapy.
You need to work that out.
Because that's, oh, it's such a terrible thing.
It's gonna happen to you if it hasn't.
People have already been coming out of the woodwork like, hey man, heard you're that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Super stoked for what you're doing. It's like, man, I haven't heard from you since NAMM. Yet now you're reaching out to me. Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I had never considered that until you just said it. Like once that does go away, it's like, oh, I'm back to being a normal person that adds no value to anybody
else.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Don't you see? I still have something.
Yeah, it's like, no. I'm still funny. Like, I did that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that thing that no one cares about anymore.
Yeah. But I made a record 2 years ago. Yeah, I think we heard kind of, but we don't care.
Dang.
Yeah.
But at least you know who your real friends are, though.
It's true.
It's a real filter.
It's true. I have some great friends. I mean,
do you want to name drop any great friends?
Oh, I mean, if I named drop, no, I don't. But like, there, some of them people would know, and a lot of them people wouldn't know. I mean, like,
feel free to give any shout outs.
Well, I mean, Dave Barnes is one of my good friends.
Big shouts out to Dave Barnes. Lost his or missed his opportunity as a comedian, I think. I think he's a better comedian than he is a songwriter.
Well, I don't think he's missed the opportunity. I think he is funny as always.
I think he's one of the funniest dudes on the internet.
He's one of the funniest dudes on the planet.
Yeah, like, I just have only seen him on the internet. So
I really think that he could do anything.
You sound like his mom.
I do. I'm like proud of him. Like, there's nobody funnier than that guy.
It's hard to be originally funny, like creatively
and
funny,
clean
and clean. And he just brings it every time without trying.
He's so fast. His wit is faster than anyone. When I met Dave
and his faces, like,
oh man, when I met him, I was like, I didn't know what to do because we were like
starting to feel a little insecure, right?
Oh, like, yeah. Like, because we would play shows together and he would have people just like, we might like be swapping songs back and forth, you know? And he would get up there and like, he would like, we'd both be playing a song, but he would be up there for like 15 minutes because he would tell a story that had everybody like 1 minute, everybody's like just dying laughing, losing their freaking, like losing everything. And then he plays a song that is like so sweet and beautiful. People are crying. I'm like, dude, screw you, shut up, man. Yeah. Get off.
And man, he's like genuine about it too.
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he's so dynamic that way.
It's such a line to walk on, like being funny. And like he writes legit. I mean, he wrote God Gave Me You. I mean, he's written a bazillion other songs too, right? That other people.
Yeah, early on, the songs that were like, that really connected with, that, you know, were, well, freaking A. Now, of course, I'm on the spot. Grace's Amazing Hands. There's Nothing Fancy. That was the one that, like, he would play that and girls would lose their minds.
What year was that?
That was, 2001. 2002.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. How old were you?
I met him when he was working on his EP. His EP that is called 3 Then 4 with Ed Cash, and I was wanting to work with Ed Cash, so I met Dave, and like Dave was interning for Ed, totally networking. Yeah, just leeching on. Dave was working as an intern for Ed. And then Ed recorded this like 5-song like acoustic EP for Dave. And it's called 3 Then 4. It's on Spotify. But that's the era that I met Dave in.
I see.
And I remember getting a burned copy of the CD from Dave, like before it came out. And I took it back to I moved to
Sharpie
Nashville.
Written on it.
Was that?
Sharpie
probably,
written on it.
Yeah. I mean, and I probably still have it because I have a problem with like holding on to things, especially sentimental things. It's probably somewhere. But I played it for my childhood or my college friend / roommate that I moved down to Nashville with from the University of Illinois, my buddy Mark. And he's a music fan and he watched, you know, me throughout college, like play music and knew that was what I came here for.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in our apartment and putting that on for him and just like looking over at him. And just like smiling, laughing, and that awkward, in that knowing of like, this is really good. and also just like, this like, can is I really even do good. This? And like, I'm screwed. You know? Like,
we should have gotten business degrees.
Yeah, this is not.
And that's the thing about this town is that there's so many just freakish, talented people all in one place that everyone's got an imposter syndrome, I'm sure.
Oh, where, man. Yeah. Honestly, like, I think I did not know.
Did he go to Belmont?
No, he went to MTSU, which is
Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee State. Okay. It's in Murfreesboro, which is about 40 minutes from here.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. You did not know. You were saying I did not know something.
I didn't know how talented this town was before I moved here. I was just naive. That is the beauty of youth, man. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just going to do this.
It is the salve to all, like, that's how things happen, is you don't know what you don't know. And when I moved here, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to move to Nashville. Like, not knowing how many other people were doing the same thing. And then also, like, pretty early on, we met like some friends, some kids that like were at Belmont, mm-hmm. and like hearing what they were doing, like how good they were. I'm like,
I could play sax and guitar.
Yeah. And I would tell them what I was doing, and they're like, no, but like, what do you really do? And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like, I'm just here to write songs full time.
At the time, you're having to pound the pavement, put freaking posters up, and get booked at coffee shops and stuff, right? It's not like, let me make a Facebook group and send it out to all my friends. Like, hey, I'm playing so-and-so.
Yeah, this is 2001, pre-MySpace. Pre-MySpace. I remember when MySpace, I remember first hearing about MySpace, a friend of mine, Dana, who's in the band Flores, who's That would be like a deep pull for anybody.
Yeah, it's a deep pull for me.
Dana was like, I saw him at the Frothy Monkey coffee shop, which is
shouts out to Frothy Monkey,
right down the street. This was before I lived here, before I lived in this neighborhood, in this house. And he's like, you've heard about MySpace? I'm like, no. And he was like showing me. I'm like, all right, well. And it was, I remember it was like January. It was January, and January in Nashville is like gloomy. It's awful. It's not cold enough to snow, but it's like nasty
cold enough to not want to go outside.
Yeah. So I just spent the month of January like
on MySpace
doing like building my MySpace. Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was crazy. I mean, it like,
did you see any results totally, from that?
Yeah, man. Yes.
Cause everyone was getting on it at the time.
Yeah. People found me.
I don't want to tell you how old I was in 2001.
Well, when did MySpace hit? It probably was like, it would have been 04, 05, at least when I signed up, because the Frothy Monkey didn't open until then. So anyway, somebody out there can
validate that, fact check it.
Yeah. And then we can find out
together
weeks or months later, whenever this thing posts.
If it posts.
It's not going well so far.
I've got a pretty strict content guideline. Anyways. All right. That's so interesting to hear about, because just to think now, granted, there were good things about that time too, because people were still buying real albums and selling tons and tons of albums. But also that's a pipe dream for a lot of, pre-iTunes, like a pipe dream for a lot of songwriters that just like moved to Nashville and try to make it. Like, I'm sure a lot of people just ended up playing coffee shops and then getting a job.
Yep.
What made you stick with it? Like, or what was your first taste of like, oh shit, like maybe this is going to happen for me?
Well, it was because, I mean, I had a network that was kind of like built in, basically, because I was involved with Young Life. Basically from the time I was born, my parents were Young Life leaders. I never missed a Young Life club in high school. I went on to like,
you had the stickers.
I did. I had everything, man. I had the Nalgene's. I had the stickers covered on my Nalgene's. Yeah. I had all the t-shirts. And I went and did work crew, summer staff. I was a leader in college at Illinois. And then, got asked to play, because I had a band in college, and at some point like they asked my band to like,
was it on the Christian side or was it just to play your songs?
We were just to play songs. I mean,
okay, my but band, you're not like leading worship at the time. This is
no,
like an actual,
I did lead some worship, but what I did as an artist was always separate from it. Was more, I was more influenced in like, if anybody remembers like Cademan's Call,
yep.
Waterdeep,
Derek Webb,
Jars of Clay. There's a really cool community of artists who were Christians, who were like talking about real stuff and mm-hmm. using language that was like real language. Mm-hmm. It was like it wasn't like churchy language. Mm-hmm. And I really resonated with that. I found myself in those songs, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to do.
Do you still keep in touch with those guys?
From Jars of Clay? Totally. Totally. I mean,
used to play Flood just basically on repeat. And that was like the only CD I could listen to pretty much growing up.
Oh man. I remember when that CD was given to me. And it was like such a, It was such a refreshing,
so
time.
Good. And I remember getting a Cademan's Call album. I'm pretty sure on cassette. It was one of the first Christian albums I got. I can't remember which album it was. That is such a freaking throwback.
It was cool, man. My college years, I was in college from 97 to 2001. And during that time, all that stuff was hitting like full bore. And so I was starting to write songs then. I was like, I formed a band. Our band was called Damascus Road, which was like this really biblical. Like very biblical, but like, ooh, what's that? You know, like you had to have, me and Barnes joked about, he had a band called, what was his band called? I'll have to text him. His band was like equally like that. It was like that, you know, like
edgy biblical Christians.
Yeah. But like this very, like, very like, what does that mean? I think that means, I think that's biblical.
But we also shop at Hot Topic.
Yeah. Or we, at that time it would have been like The Buckle or something. The Buckle. Yeah. Or, you know, Abercrombie.
Yeah. So you, so Young Life, you're saying that was the platform you had?
I got asked to, I kind of threw my name in the hat. Like, hey, I remember going to camp and seeing Ed Cash play. So Young Life Camp is a week camp. It's for kids who aren't like quote unquote churched. And they, a lot of times we'll have a special musical guest that will like be an extra like way of like communicating to kids. So it's like, they're playing their own songs. They're not like necessarily like, they're not worship songs or anything. Young Life is like not work. Like they're not really, you're singing like Free Fallin' and like Brown Eyed Girl.
So it's more
like
of like a fully camp experience and not a,
yeah, it's not like it does. It gets more churchy towards the end of it. Is you get more into like the meat of, you know, the gospel message. But so I was writing songs that were like, that connected with
youths, with people.
I just think with people, you know, who have any kind of, who are like being real about their lives. And I got asked to play a couple of camps that summer after I graduated, and they were a month long commitments to each. So I was there for a month. And I had four different weeks of kids coming in. So they would come from like I was, one of the camps I went to was in Minnesota called Castaway, and kids would come from Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Colorado, Missouri. So they would come, they would hear me play, they'd buy my CD, they'd go home, they would play my CD. And this was like right after, this is like right when John Mayer was hitting. Room for Squares was hitting, Jack Johnson. So
you people, fit into that.
It was kind of like I was the, it was easy for people to connect the dots. They knew what it was. Singer songwriter was pop music.
So did anybody ever say that about you? Like connect, he's like the Christian John Mayer.
They wouldn't say the Christian John Mayer. They would just say he's better than John Mayer. He's like John Mayer. And at the time I was like, I was insecure about like, cause some of my songs were like directly inspired by John Mayer, like guitar parts. And like, and so I was kind of insecure, like, no, I'm not like, I'm like, and it took me a while to own like, no, it took me until there was like a total divergence of our careers where it was like, okay, yeah, he's like, you're not going to do that, man. And then it was like, okay, yeah, totally. And John Mayer inspired me. But like it, in the moment I was like, no, man, John, who, what are you talking about? I've never heard that song.
Have you ever met him?
Oh John? Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And
I stand so hard for him. Like he,
I was
talking to somebody yesterday. There's not many people I would freak the frick out for.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no denying how that talent only comes once or twice in a generation. And I even seeing him now, like in such a refined, like not trying to sell out to the pop crowd, like just doing his freaking Dead and Company thing and like all of his blues and jazz licks. It like almost makes me emotional to think that I get to
be alive.
See this guy play because no one can touch him.
I know, man. Did you see this?
Full respect to your whole music career. I'm just saying,
No, man, this podcast is over.
No. Your agent said I had 45 more minutes.
Yeah, no, man.
I guess all that to say is I would freak out. I mean, he follows my account, and I've talked with him over Instagram.
For real?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, sick.
I offered to send him a hoodie, and he was very gracious, and he was like, dude, I've got a million hoodies. I don't want to take one from somebody that would buy it. And I said, that's a very nice way to say no.
Yeah, that is.
But I hope to meet him.
His last tour, he came through Nashville, and I got a text like day of from my friend Rusty. He was like, hey, you want to go to, and usually if I get a text, you know, during the day, it's like, hey, what are you doing? It's usually like, can you come babysit my kids? And so I was like, I don't know. I might be getting into something tonight. You know, he's like,
try to set yourself up. For
yeah.
It.
It's like, I just wanted to see if you wanted to go to the John Mayer show. I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, all my plans fell through.
I could probably, I can cancel, you know, I was going to hang out with my sister or something. You know? And so we got to go, like, they had like this box, you know, situation. It was awesome. But man, I was emotional. I was into songs that I don't really care about on record. You know, like, yeah. I don't love the last few things.
Love on the
done.
Weekend, all that kind of
I
stuff.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, but you hear it live in the context of like everything else, and you're like, man, I'm like, he starts playing it, and I'm like, yeah, this song. I'm like, you would skip this song if it right. came on the radio. Because you know?
He's just such a, like, he writes all those songs, he writes the lyrics, and then he pulls tone out of nowhere that sounds like nobody else playing guitar.
Yeah.
Like, he's up there pulling out this crazy guitar tone, and you don't know why it sounds so good, but you just recognize that this dude is making this guitar sound like nobody else can.
Yeah.
Even the most basic notes.
On a Paul Reed Smith.
Yeah. And it just makes me emotional just thinking about it. Yeah. And then Steve Jordan's back there being cool as hell, doing just like sitting in the pocket. And you're like, why am I so impressed with this dude's drumming? But he's just like, just chilling back there, yeah. basically doing the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's freaking
I could talk
cool.
about John Mayer all day. But anyways, back yeah. to your career.
No, man. I think
and how
should,
it's very
I think
similar
this
to John
podcast
Mayer.
Should be about other people.
No, you're right.
You know, we should talk about like everybody else.
We should just, you know, we should just, it should be just a positive gossip podcast where
about,
we talk about
where
everybody
we encourage
that we love.
Other people.
Keep going, guys.
Yeah, man. Gosh, John, you're really.
John, don't give up, man.
Really
you still got plenty
TV
of life
show,
left.
Man. Yeah. Yeah, Dave, man. You, there's so much potential
Dave,
out there.
You could
man.
Have a Netflix comedy special.
That, come on. Who yeah. else? Hey, who do you want to encourage?
Who else? Let's see. Ben Rector is one,
oh,
another
Ben,
one of your homies.
Yeah, Ben really needs it too because he's struggling.
He is struggling and. Like people don't love his music.
People hate his music.
People don't connect with the words that he says.
Yeah, yeah.
And that his melodies are really hard to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah,
they're not, and the streaming is not really working for him.
The streaming's not working. The tours yeah. are spotty at best.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The merch is, you know,
yeah. lackluster.
Might as well give up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, for real. Ben Rector might be the king of catchy hooks or like whatever he's doing.
Is working,
and it's genuine. Like not a single Ben Rector song I listen to is like, man, this dude's just selling out to
I know
to feed the pop thing. And the thing I appreciate most about him is like, he's not ending up in a freaking tabloid, and he's also not, you know, maybe some people would say this isn't good, but like speaking up about political stuff, he's like, dude, I just do my thing. I write my songs.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I
really
take care
wanna.
Of my family.
Yeah,
I go on tour and I crush it.
Yep.
And I live 12 South in a dope ass house, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, have you lived with him or something? Like,
we were never roommates, but
y'all are homies.
Yeah, yeah. When he moved to town, we started hanging. I think Barnes kind of connected with him first. I connected with Steve Mokler.
That's right.
And Steve, I heard Steve's album. Somebody like gave it to me, and I was like, dude, what is this? And so I got his phone number and I called Steve up, and Steve tells a story. It's really funny. He thought
somebody, is he still in Nashville?
Yeah, yeah. He's doing like a country thing.
Okay.
But Steve thought that somebody was his friends were pranking him. He thought that he didn't because he like was such a fan,
he was a fan of
my
yours.
Music. And I was like, dude, this is amazing. Let's
it's gotta
get
be the
up.
Best freaking feeling for a new
oh my gosh
artist.
Yes. It is. And so I connected. So anyway, I connected with Steve and then Ben. I started getting to know Ben. And then basically I was like, you guys should be friends because Barnes and I really attribute our friendship to our success. Like we kind of felt like it was a better story coming up with somebody else, you know, and even like the Nashville like thing, like there's just kind of like a little crew here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's more fun to talk about that than like some one-off person who's like, you know, just like on their own doing the thing. Even if they're crushing it, it's kind of like, cool.
It's their one leg to stand on too. I mean, yeah. It's nice like building a network to where you all have your networks together. You all support each other. You all spread the word about each other's stuff.
Yep.
It's a lot of like being a pastor.
It is. That's a great transition.
There's some daily comforts that just make you grateful and feel more grounded in life. Petting your pups, smashing the snooze button, and of course, that first cup of Joe in the morning. These are things that you count on every day to help you get where you want to go. Things like the Upper Room Daily Devotional Guide. You can count on the Upper Room for daily inspiration, daily community, and daily prayer. It's the only daily devotional magazine written by readers, ordinary people who have encountered God in daily situations. The Upper Room is here for you every day through your email, a custom app, or printed magazine. Enjoy a free 30-day trial of their email or app service by visiting upperroom.org/welcome. That's upperroom.org/welcome to get your first 30 days free.
We don't have to. I mean,
you know.
Steve Muckler's great. I remember seeing all of y'all come play in Arkansas in like 2010 or 2009. It was some type of writers thing. Y'all came and played at the University of Arkansas at the, there was an outdoor amphitheater.
I don't think I was on that.
I'm pretty sure you were on that.
Really?
Yeah, it was you, Ben Rector.
Oh, yeah, it was the Bucks Island Party.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a Bucks thing. I'm
I don't know why
sure.
I would have been there then, because I don't associate with those guys.
Well, Ben went to school there.
Yeah.
So I remember Ben opening for me at a Bucks Island Party, and it was like a indoor, it was rained out, so we did it inside.
Oh, okay.
And I remember him playing then. It's also coincidentally the first time I ever heard Imagine Dragons. They were playing Imagine Dragons.
What is this? This is motivating as hell.
Imagine Dragons, like, you know, like in between. And I was like, this is amazing. What?
Come to find out, they leaned on that one freaking melody and drum scheme for their entire.
Hey, man, it works. It still works. But
they're
yeah,
crushing it too. But Imagine Dragons, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, man, keep imagining.
Keep the imagination beasts. Up. Dragons are real.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we're not going to tell you they're not.
12-year-olds love you guys.
Yeah.
So keep it up. Keep the ESPN
keep getting those
scores
sync.
Going.
Keep getting those huge, you know, licensing deals.
Hey, yeah.
And if you got extra money, send it our way.
Send it. Yeah. I'm happy to give you my address over DM or send it to Matt. And I'm sure he'd be open
yeah,
to
mean,
splitting it with me.
My address is probably like on the internet.
No, I fought off some fans walking in because they wanted
I'm
to
sure.
catch you coming out.
Yeah.
It was a pretty,
yeah.
Anyways. All right. So what does your career look like currently? It's 2020.
I
mean, Ed Sheeran's crushing it. Billie Eilish is crushing
thank
it.
Thank you.
And then it's you.
Thank you. I really appreciate the comparison to those people
absolutely.
Who are crushing it.
Mm-hmm.
It really accentuates how
Lil Nas X. I mean, you're
not
up there
crushing
with all,
it. I am.
Oh, yeah.
No, I am about to. When does this come out, by the way? Do we know?
Whenever I want.
Okay, cool. Well,
a few weeks probably.
On March 20th.
It'll be before that.
Okay. So on March 20th, I am releasing an acoustic greatest hits called Renderings
cool.
Volume 1. I have a copy of the album cover over there, and it is
did you design it?
No, I did not design it. I did not. I hire out anything that has my name on it. I'm just too close to it.
I see.
So that is we started putting basically, it's like the first installment of what I think will probably be a 2 or 3 volume deal.
Hmm.
Some of it's like legitimate, like these are the most streamed songs, so we're gonna do acoustic. And some of it's just like fan favorites. I literally like asked everybody across all any way that I can communicate with my fans. I asked them like what songs they would like done this way, and and I literally tallied every, like from emails to Twitter responses to DMs on Instagram, I tallied them all up.
Wow.
And I like just started like, okay.
So this is
that's cool.
So I've already got. So this is the first one, and I've got the other one. I know which ones I'm going to do for the next installment, but that comes out
March 20th,
and
is
I will
a Spotify
be,
situation.
It'll
or
be
selling
a Spotify,
first?
And I'm also selling vinyl. I'm making. I'm pressing vinyl. They are freshly pressed.
That's cool.
And if you, yeah, it's on my website, mattwirtz.com.
What's the price point?
It's $30.
It's pretty standard though for new vinyl.
Standard-ish. Yeah,
I love vinyl. It's so cool.
It's so cool.
It's kind of hipster, and you really have to buy into it. Otherwise, it just ends up in a closet.
Yeah,
but it's like a cool touch, like a physical.
It's just nice.
It's nice. And the sound is, it's a different experience.
It's a different, I think it's more about the experience. I'm not discerning when it comes to sound.
You're not a
and most,
audiophile.
Most people probably don't even have systems that are like, that you could really discern what's, you know what I mean?
This is hi-fi.
You would have to spend so much, like $20,000, you know, on a speaker, you know, but like, What I appreciate about it is like we are going to listen to this whole album, or we're going to listen to half this album, and then we're going to turn it over. Yeah. Or in the case of the Continuum album, we're going to listen to three songs and then turn it over, because he pressed that in such a high fidelity way that like one side only holds like three songs. So it was like there's two vinyls for that record, and I had it. Yeah. It's awesome.
And you probably beat it to death too. That one and like Where the Light is probably the vinyl I would play the most.
Dude, how about freaking I Don't Think I'm Gonna Go to Hell Anymore? That song. Woo!
That's some freaking instant feels.
God, I got them right now.
Yeah, I've been to LA once.
Here we are talking about John Mayer.
John, you still got it, bro. Keep going.
Keep going, man. Keep going. Hey, don't let them tell you otherwise.
No, the haters, they come and go, man. Yeah. But your music never dies. Anyways.
So, yeah, I'm
releasing
doing that.
The album.
I'm also working on, I'm writing new music. I'm like trying out some producers right now.
Cool.
And I'm booking a tour for late summer.
Band or just you?
It'll probably just be me. Yeah. Acoustic.
You bringing anybody?
It'll be, I haven't decided yet. That'd probably be cool.
You know, give some up and comers a shot.
I know. It would probably be a kind move. I like doing that.
But it is, I mean, that's additional logistics to deal with, and you got to find the right person.
Somebody that you'd want to spend that much time with.
Right. And you like, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what's going on with me. I'm also like,
and you're doing this full time.
I enjoy being, it's full time still.
That's so dope. I mean, not many people get to do that. I think to stay relevant enough to be able to do it full time. That's the dream. Got it. Like life is hard. Work ends up being work regardless of what you do, but still like that beats. I mean, we're sitting here at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Being able to do this.
I know. It's pretty
awesome. It's not lost on me that like not many people have the ability to come hang.
No,
like that.
No, it's a huge gift, man. And it has been. I think that's probably the, it's probably like the biggest fear I think of that any of me and my friends who do this have is like,
what happens after?
Or like, is this gonna like last? You know, like, will I be able to keep doing this? And I think it's like, for me, it's as much about like autonomy and be able to like decide what I do with my time as it is specifically playing music. I love to play music. I probably love more the fact that, you know, like life moves at a pace that I kind of get to dictate.
Yeah, that's dope as hell.
And that's like I've gotten used to that. I've only ever known that in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what would happen if that was taken away.
It's not better on the other side as far as having a job and having to like report to something.
Oh man.
Yeah. And as like, as a 41 year old, like
you're going to bring my age into it now.
You mentioned it earlier.
Jeez, man.
I wished you happy birthday.
That's cool.
But, like you have probably have self-awareness enough to know what you like and don't like and know that this is the lifestyle that works for you.
Yeah.
And so extending that is more of a priority than getting to live your dream as a musician.
Well, and the reality too is like, okay, I'm 41 and
you're a great 41. Shut up, man. About 41.
Well, okay. Bro. Yeah. I'm bringing that into it, but in terms of like, competing on some kind of like pop level, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, like, dude, that's for 19-year-old kids.
Yeah.
You know, like, It is a young person's game, man. Like young, like that's what we want. So now it's kind of freeing because it's like, okay, we'll just tell the truth now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go tell the truth. And I think for so long I was trying to stay quote unquote relevant, mm-hmm. or like make sure I was talking about things that people. And honestly, at this point, I'm like, I wouldn't even know what to, if I was trying to hit some kind of target, I wouldn't even know what to do anyway.
Right.
You know,
do you have a TikTok? That'd be a good start.
I do have a TikTok, but I don't use it. I wouldn't know what to put on.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I don't even use Instagram stories like very well.
I mean, that's where the first moment I felt, oh, this, I'm starting to feel old. It's like TikTok is like, how do you do this? How do you work this dying app?
Yeah. And just like all of the different, like, oh, now we have to do this.
Yep.
Like
all the different channels you have to keep up.
We got to do this now. Yeah. I mean, I got one. I didn't even get just my name though. Like it was taken. I'm like, who has my name? And then I started thinking,
there's not
like,
many Matt Wirtz out there.
I was like,
sure.
Does Instagram, is this connected with like somewhere else? Like, is it
already taken through another account?
Is it like taken through account I control? Not that I could find. Like, so I have like Matt Wirtz music or something like that.
Oh, that
like,
sucks.
It sucks. Like what Matt Wirtz out like.
Do you have any, do you have any connections with like labels? Like, are you on a label at
I'm
all?
I'm not on a label.
Just all self-published.
I have only ever been, on a label for one album. And that was, in 2008, I put out an album called Under Summer Sun. And that was on Universal Republic Records. Universal Republic is massive. That's who Taylor Swift is on.
Yeah.
That's who at the time was like, I went with them because
they bought up a bunch of small labels.
Yeah.
Right?
They're smart, man. Monty and Avery Lippman run Universal Republic and they're like really smart guys. And, I really liked them. I mean that, you know, I lasted one record, but we kind of knew going in, like, we're just going to see if this works. And it was clear. Like worse at radio, basically, because I had at that point built an independent career that was like significant. I was making money. That's the only reason why anybody was interested anyway. It's like people only want in on you if you've got a business.
Right. If you've a proven moneymaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, the only reason I'm going to go into business with you is if you can bring something to the table.
Yeah.
And up until that point, it was all like, I don't think you guys like. I would be dealing with A&R guys that were like younger than me. I'm like, nah, I'm good, man. Like you're an intern and I get it. Like, you know, I've heard other stories of like that happening and really, really taking off, but I just was not going to trust this. Like this was, I didn't have a plan B. You know what I mean? Like this wasn't like, I don't have a backup plan in case I sign with whatever label and it like, oops, it just doesn't work. I'm like, okay. So I waited until 7 years into my career to sign a deal.
Wow.
And at that point, you know, I was able to retain the ownership of all the albums that I'd put out up until that point. So we did a record with them. It was like, it did not meet expectations. I was like, great.
Give it a shot.
I went right back to work. I put out a EP called While We're Becoming that was arguably as far as my artist, my peers, it was like their favorite thing that I had done. And then I followed it up with the next year I made Weights and Wings and I put out my Christmas album Snow Globe like that same year. So it was a pretty busy, like I came out of that deal and I was like going.
So your creative juices were flowing. Did you make any money on the record deal?
I did.
I have no idea how
we are sitting in a house that was like, I used the,
I used the part of the advance to as a deposit for this house.
Okay. So like when he says house, he's being a little generous. We're literally in an RV outside of Nashville. But yeah, we can keep calling it a house.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's, so he made, yeah, I mean, he made $8,000 right? from the record. It's homey.
It's my home.
It's
my
homey.
Home.
Yeah.
I should, home is
it's where your heart is,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So then you pumped out three albums and those did better than the label albums?
I don't really know.
I'm such a noob to like your whole discography.
I don't really know
if that's how you say it.
How the Universal record did. I would imagine, I mean, truthfully, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And I don't even know if you can.
Well, that's probably look that a better place mentally to be instead of like keeping score for every album.
Yeah, there's no, I don't do that.
Because by that time, iTunes was full force. People were still buying albums because there was less single song purchases, I think. Like
yep.
People still were in the buying behavior of
yep.
buying full albums. But
hmm. Yeah, 2008. Yeah, people were probably just buying it on iTunes. Yeah. Hmm. Did you get the first iPhone? Were you an early adopter on
that? No, I wasn't. I never have been.
I got the I remember being like, I'm not gonna get it. And then I went like the night it was released to the Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like walking in and like holding one
and
I was like, oh my gosh,
I've never felt or seen anything like this before.
No. And I was like, I got one the next day.
And how much they cost? $500 or something?
Yeah. They subsidized them. I think,
oh yeah. 200 maybe.
Well,
back when they did the deals like that.
Yeah. I can't remember what the cost was, but it was unlike anything. And then like classically, like six months later, I'm like, my life is just too complicated with this thing. I'm gonna downgrade. And so I go to I can't remember, I think I was with AT&T. That was the original, like you had to be with AT&T.
Right,
they
yeah.
struck that deal, which yeah. was genius.
Really smart.
And I went back to AT&T and I was like, hey, can I I just wanna go on a flip phone. I'm like, all right, cool, all right, whatever. So got a flip phone. And then, and I was like, I went back. I'm like, hey, can you help me like get my contacts from this over to the flip phone? Like, yeah, we can't do that. And I'm like, oh, well then I can't do this because like
that was going to take real effort.
It was going to take real effort,
like
hours and hours. And I'm like, yeah, so I guess I'm in.
And ever since then, so you were $1,000 worth of phone in, had two phones and then. Or did you never buy the flip phone?
Oh, I don't know. Oh, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was like, yeah, can you guys? I went in there and I found out before I checked out that was not going to happen. I'm like, I walked out with my head down. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to be a slave to technology for the rest of my life.
And then times 500 million people. And that's where we are today.
Dude.
We all are.
I know. Did you see, WALL-E?
Nope. I heard it was awesome though.
Okay. You got to see
years
WALL-E
and years ago. Yeah.
And the prophetic nature. I mean, granted it was Pixar, which was owned by Apple. So maybe,
so they knew they
saw it coming, but like there's a scene where everybody is in their own little personal vehicles with a screen right in front of them. And everybody is living their own little like private personal life with a screen like inches from their face. And this was before the iPhone.
That's
it came
bananas.
Out. That movie came out before the iPhone. I'm like, whoa.
And that's, I mean, it's only more and more like that.
I know.
Man. I mean, I've come like, I mean, I spend so much time on Instagram, obviously, but I'll come to every once in a while. Like I've been staring at this phone for an hour straight.
Yeah.
Like life literally existing around me and I can't look away from this mother freaking thing sometimes.
I know, man.
And that makes me feel sick sometimes. Like, dude, that's an addiction.
It's an addiction. And it's a real thing, man.
And I got to deal with that later. I'm not going to deal with it now.
No way. You're good.
I'm kind of milking that for as long as I can.
You're not that bad.
No.
Yeah, other people. Other people are worse.
They
than
need
me,
to repent,
sure,
but not me.
Surely.
So you and I became internet friends pretty early on.
Yeah, dude. I can't remember who sent me your feed.
I mean, it was within, I remember recognizing your name because I had seen you play at Arkansas. I was like, oh, this guy's got a blue check mark and I've heard his name before. And I think he's connected to Ben Rector. And then
So that's what that's all it took.
I think that's all it took.
Yeah, it's a blue check mark. And
well, at the time, I was like, I mean, I'm a nobody at the time, and I mean, I'm still a nobody. But you know, verified people start following me.
You're important now.
Oh, thank.
Now you are important.
I can do things for you.
Hey, in a few years, you will not be important
anymore.
And
I'll stop hearing from you.
And then, yeah,
right. The coffee will get a little worse.
yeah. Dude. By the way, have you tried that coffee?
Nuh-uh. What is it? I mean, I'm finished.
Oh,
with
you're
it.
Finished with it.
Yeah,
did you like it?
Yeah, it was outstanding.
It's really good.
What was it?
Well, it's four barrel coffee, which I didn't realize that they had some kind of rough. They had a rough patch a few years ago.
Oh, did
so,
they?
Which I was totally unaware. It's a
Nashville
of.
Company?
No, they're in San Francisco. I have it sent to me every 2 weeks.
Oh, by your butler?
By my coffee butler.
Okay.
Yeah. It's he delivers it by hand.
Kind of pretentious, but okay.
Yeah. That was how I spent the rest of the universal check.
Exquisite coffees.
Yeah. But it's very good. And
you did it in an AeroPress, which is very involved.
It's the only way I know how.
Every day you do that.
It's a ritual. It's like, it's cathartic. It's like how I start the day. I make a cup of coffee. I go sit in that chair and I read. And I journal, and
that's awesome.
I usually do that for about an hour before I also will. A lot of times, I start the day doing the New York Times mini crossword puzzle.
Oh, okay.
It's like it takes a minute. It's just like a good way to get my brain going.
That's so nice. I mean, I think that's the dream for every single dude. That's like, dude, I just want to be able to wake up in my own dope house, sit in my cool chair, be intellectual, drink my exquisite coffee, and then just go from there. And you're living that dream. Keep going, man.
Man, thanks. Thank you. We should like really encourage me right now.
You're the talent in this relationship.
That was a funny text thread.
Yeah, that was funny. What do you read? Is it the Bible or is it books?
I mean,
no shit, it's books.
Yeah.
But what are you reading?
So
that's interesting to you.
So currently I'm reading, my friend Justin Rosalino, put out a book, and it is called, Idiot Sojourning Journal. I think, let me double check that.
Okay. Matt got up to go find the book. So I'll just fill up this dead
space. It's called
space.
Idiot Sojourning Soul. A post-secular pilgrimage by Justin Rosalino.
Cool cover.
And, Justin used to play guitar for me in bands, and then we would do duo shows. There's actually a great live show on my Spotify live from Seattle. It's called If It Ain't Broke, and it's me and Justin live from the Triple Door in Seattle, and it's freaking hysterical. And he's really funny, and we have a great dynamic. But this book is, he has a master's in divinity, and he basically talks about the history of Christianity and how we got here in this time, in this space and time.
Hmm.
And he gives some context to it, because there's a lot of disillusionment right now in the Christian faith in America. And he kind of explains like why, but he does that he also has like really great anecdotal stories about, his life and growing up. And he's just funny, man.
That's cool.
He's really funny. But he's whip smart. Like, and, everything is like cited, like all references are cited. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of, yeah, it's really great. So I'm reading that, but in the morning, a lot of times I'll read like more meditative, spiritual, like meditative, daily kind of things, or,
to try to get your mind right.
Yeah. And then I'll usually journal. And sometimes whatever I read will like
lead to a stir something. Situation.
Sometimes,
or like, yeah, what's the end state, or what do you hope to?
Well, the hope is just to like, to, it's not really about songs at that point. It's just about like connecting with myself,
okay,
and with God. And I'm just trying to get in my Like, I'm just trying to like get present to myself. What's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you like? Cause a lot of times, man, like we're so, I'll just speak for myself. I'm so like externally focused. I'll miss what's happening inside. And like, and that's when I become reactive, you know, like,
yeah, trying to put all the fires out,
just reacting to what's going on around me, whether it's putting out fires or like, it's, if I'm not connected to myself, then I am operating out of this, like, you know, it's just out of a reactive space instead of a proactive, like, proactive spot.
Yeah. So like you try to actually feel your feelings and the, like the fears you have maybe, or the things that are stirring within you to hopefully like understand why you are feeling those things or going through those things.
Cause sometimes you can find yourself, like, I'm sure everybody can relate to this. You find yourself reacting to something with so much more, intensity than in, like, the thing really demands.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, what's going on? If you have any kind of self-awareness, you might ask yourself, what else is going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What else is going on?
Why is this being blown out of proportion in my mind?
And sometimes I am like late to the game on like what's going on emotionally for me. And so I'm trying to like become more, just more like aware of what's happening real time. So I'm like, I can tell if I'm like really short, I'm really impatient, or
yeah, I got some get of that angry from you
really
today.
Quick. Yeah, get angry really quick, or like offended.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay,
why are you being so sensitive about
what's happening? Yeah. Like, because it's not about this thing,
right?
Like, I know what it is. You got this email from somebody, and you made up a story about what it's about, or maybe you got an email that's like. Something hasn't happened the way that you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
And now everything else, you're seeing everything else through this lens, you know? And that's, dude, until I'm able to like know what's going on and change like how I respond,
mm-hmm.
I'll just do other people and myself a lot of damage. So
your brain is very powerful in that regard. Like the ability to tell yourself a bullshit story that'll affect your whole day.
Yep.
I totally relate to that. Like somebody will say a comment or a message or send me an email and it'll like affect my whole day. And I'm like, why the frick does this person, this unfaced, unnamed person have the power to affect me just by like one little sentence?
Yeah.
It's so rooted in some type of insecurity or like, feeling like a hypocrite or any number of lies that I'm telling myself.
Oh, dude, I bet you are in a position where you could come under fire way more than I have because, you know, you're hitting at something that is a hot button for a lot of people.
And a lot of people don't have answers for it or like reasons for why they feel a certain way about it.
Right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
So are you able to stick to that routine pretty consistently?
I am, yeah.
Do you wake up early or you just start late?
I mean, it's like, it depends on, it's, you know, that's all relative. I wake up at like 7.
Oh, okay.
Some people wake up at like I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm like, you wake up early? I'm like, yeah, I wake up pretty early, like 7 o'clock. And he's like, oh. And I was like, what time do you wake up? He's like, I woke up at 5:30 this morning. I'm like, okay, you wake up early. I'm like,
congrats.
Sleeping. Yeah, I'm sleeping in apparently. It's like,
I'm happier than
every
you,
day is a Saturday over here.
That's awesome. So what do you think?
7 a.m. What time do you wake up?
I wake up like 6:30 usually. Right. I write from 6:30 to 8.
I'm slacking.
And then, well.
What are you writing?
I'm writing a book.
Tell me about your book.
Well, I actually met with my publisher last night and somehow this whole account has turned into something worth writing about, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I am writing about the deeper questions that have kind of sprung out of this account around like consumerism, capitalism, and celebrity culture within the bigger Western church. Dude. So like all the reasons why people feel icky when they see a pastor wearing a new outfit every weekend, writing about that.
Yep.
Or writing about the philosophical issues around getting rich off of preaching about a guy born in a manger, murdered on a cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, who over-indexed on taking care of the poor, the widow, and the orphan.
Right.
So like all that.
I don't think you got anything there.
I don't think so. It's kind of a surface level type topic. So like I even told people yesterday, I interviewed a bunch of people and I basically told them all, it's like, dude, I really don't care about the sneakers anymore. Like the sneakers are such a surface to the whole deep thing that so many people don't know what to deal with. And I'm not so naive to think that I've got the answers, but it seems like I've been put in a, this sounds super pretentious, but put in a place to be the person to dig up those things and present the questions to the people, to people. Cause clearly people are searching for answers on this kind of thing. Like if this is right, like, is it right for someone who's a faith leader to display opulence or display like, or to show that they're living a life of luxury? Or if you say that you believe in this Jesus, how much of his lifestyle do you have to emulate? Like, do you really have to like sell everything and live in the poor, kind of live with the poor or be poor, kind of like Shane Claiborne does? Or do you just have to tithe and be bloom where you're planted and be a doctor that follows Jesus and be rich and give to a bunch of people?
Like, yeah.
So all that. And then also things around just the consumerism that's plagued the Christian church, like the focus on the smoke machines and the branding and all the production quality, the logos and the church merch, all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot there.
There's a lot there. Yeah. So you're right. You're like, are you, what's it like to, I honestly, so like, I'm going to have you on my podcast. And I don't want to, there's a lot of questions I have that I want to say for that.
Okay.
So maybe we can promote. There will be
love that.
There is going to be another conversation where the tables are turned
on your podcast, which is called what?
It's called The Curiosity Habit.
The Curiosity Habit.
Yeah, The Curiosity Habit.
So we'll talk more on that.
We'll talk more on that, but I have like so many questions about that.
Yeah.
And also I think you would really appreciate this book, and it might actually help give some background context as to like I said, how we got here.
Yeah. I would love to read
it. And it's easy to read and fun to read, but also like it's like
Idiot Sojourning Soul.
Sojourning Soul.
Justin Rosalino. He didn't pay for that ad, but
he did not.
He'll get a solid 3,000 streams out of it.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's on Amazon, and it's a slow build. He's a first time author, not a big book deal. He will be, this word of mouth will be his friend.
I'll read it, and then maybe you can connect us. That would be sweet. Yeah. I recognize I need help with these perspectives. Like, I am very much an average dude that's not equipped for any of this.
Yeah.
And just trying to, the hope for the book is that I can help me and other people to deal with some of these questions that just have no real great answers right now.
Yeah.
Like, but there seems to be enough evidence that there is an issue, or that people want to be able to speak to this. So
it's a weird time, man, because like, it's like, you know,
I mean, you're going through a lot of this. What do you think about the whole premise of those three things, or just the account in general?
I think that
encouraging words only.
It's no, I mean, we live in such a weird time, because like, as soon as you take a stand for anything, you get railed.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's like, but then like the emphasis is on like tolerance and acceptance, you know, which I think that's probably how, I think Jesus would probably like have a lot of tolerance and acceptance too. But you kind of walk this line between like, okay, where does rightness, how does rightness fit in with acceptance and tolerance?
Like, how much of an issue is an issue for us to call it out.
And I'll say this, man, like when I first like saw your account, I was like, finally, you know? And it certainly was like immediately like resonated with like, yeah, this is freaking like, it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
And
because to you, it seemed ridiculous.
It did. And then like, you know, you hear the other side and I'm a pretty like empathetic guy. Yeah, and so I hear too. The other side and I'm like, okay, just like everything else, there's nuance and this is gray and it's like, and it's not as easy and cut and dry as like we would all like for everything to be. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we go that way, we're like fundamentalists,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and
people will get mad if you don't choose one of those sides though. Like people want there to be a black and white. Like, you know, you go to read the comments. So many people are black and white about this thing.
Well,
and it makes people mad that I'm like, dude, I kind of like you. Like, I see both sides.
Okay,
of this.
But I wonder though, when you started this, did you see both sides, or were you like, when you started this, were you like calling this on blast because this is ridiculous?
Well, no, yeah. Like when I started it, when I had no following or no, it wasn't even an account. It was just on my personal Instagram. I was basically being snarky, like, dude, this is freaking ridiculous.
Right.
And I had no animus. Like, I didn't have a vendetta towards them, but I was like, dude, what is this? Yeah.
And I would imagine that people responded to you taking a hard line on it.
Yeah. Like, people saw it as their tool to communicate what they feel about this kind of thing.
Right.
And it was, that's not lost on me.
It was very provocative when there's like, it's very provocative to be like, to make definitive statements right now.
Yes.
And like that is.
And I didn't really know what I was doing or getting myself into. And there was obviously there was a portion of ignorance where it's like, clearly I couldn't empathize with that type of person, the pastor that has these dope shoes or whatever.
Right.
And so obviously once I heard from some of them and got to hear their stories, of course I'm going to start to like feel some of their feelings, empathize with their, like them being real people.
Yeah.
So that obviously shifted my tone a little bit and me trying to not be a fundamentalist and be like, no, this is bullshit.
Right.
You should never wear sneakers.
Right.
Preaching. You should never get a nice gift for
sure.
Like, dude, then I'm being a hypocrite.
Well, and it's, you know, this is just the way that like, this is how people grow. And in, you know, is it like, it's a vehicle. This is a vehicle that, you know, the end product for all this will be who you become.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
this is more about like the journey that you are being, this is your development and growth, you know, and granted it's like, it has employed all of these other people, and it's kind of like it's online.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, developing empathy and like being willing to see other sides of things and like grow, it's awesome. And I think that's going to be that's more important than like being provocative. And
right.
You know what I mean?
Developing. I think we could all use further development in emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Oh man. Always.
And a lot of people in the comments could do to shut the hell up probably. But there again, they're what developed the conversation. They're what developed the me getting in the spotlight for this kind of thing. So it's not that I'm not grateful. It's just, I am so surprised at where my life is today.
Can we talk about the shoes I have?
Yeah. So Matt is flexing in some Sean Wotherspoon Air Max 97/1s.
They were a gift though. So.
Oh, were they?
Yeah,
they're a $700 gift.
They're a gift.
No. Those go for like, I think $1,200 right now. 9 to 12. What size do you wear?
12.
Yeah. Those probably go for $900 to $1,200. That's one of the most hyped shoes from last year or 2018.
Like 2 years ago.
2018. Yeah.
It was a
He crushed huge those. Score.
Yeah, they're awesome. And mine.
You did get those as a gift?
I have enough pairs of shoes that, no, I paid for these, but I paid retail for them.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I don't wear my sneakers enough for them to really ever show wear, you know?
That's a good problem to
have.
Like
I said, my wardrobe is not set up for all the shoes that I love.
Right.
So I'll get them. Like I bought those.
You've gotten lucky.
The Yeezys 350s version 2s that have like all the different colors stitched into them.
Like the multicolor ones?
The multicolor.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, yeah. He's come out with so many. It's like black.
Y-E-C-H-E-I-L.
It's like a darker black
with like.
Yeah.
I bought those. I'm like, I don't know how to wear these.
Yeah.
How do you wear them?
I can only wear certain ones. I can wear Ultra Boosts. I can wear Air Max ones. I can wear Jordan ones. The rest are like, I got to really buy in.
Yeah.
It's like I got some Jordan 4s recently that are sweet.
Which ones?
Bred Jordan 4s.
Oh, sick.
They were actually a gift.
Nice.
From a fan.
Oh, so, dope.
Which was super dope and generous. And I don't know how to wear those yet.
Yeah.
It's like about to get hot in Texas where I can only really wear those shoes with pants. Like I'm not gonna wear these with some khaki shorts.
No.
So
yeah, I don't really know, man.
Woe is us.
Yeah. I've been rocking. My go-to shoe is a Spalwart. Do you know about Spalwart?
No.
I think I first learned about them from Outdoor Voices because they put all their models in these like Spalwart shoes, and they're like, they're kind of vintage running shoe looking, but they're like made in Europe. And so they're made in some place and they're like really well made. So they're like, they cost more than they should, but they last for a long time. They're really comfortable and they last for, that's like my go-to shoe, but it's not like a hyped shoe. It's just they're not limited. You can get them anywhere, but
they're still pretty expensive.
They're really well made. Yeah. Handmade? It's like on the same line of like Common Projects. Like
thing. I don't get those shoes.
I don't either.
All white, nothing sneakers, $400.
Well, it was a
thing. Maybe they're comfy.
They're really comfortable. They're really comfy. They're made in Italy. They're like really well made. They're they basically took like Italian shoemaking or whatever and like made it into a sneaker. But that whole look, the like white shoe thing was like 6 years ago. You know? Yeah. It was like in 2014. I remember black skinny jeans and white Common Projects.
Do you find that you fit in with the trends of this town, like as they come? Like, have you had leather jackets in your day?
Do I what?
Have you had leather jackets?
Have a leather jacket that I'll probably have forever. It's like classic.
People wear leather around here.
Really?
Yeah.
Notice that?
That's what I've noticed, yeah.
So I am probably more on the conservative end of the fashion spectrum. I've been a t-shirt and jeans guy like for a long time. If I buy into any trends, it's usually a denim. It's like denim. So if you look in my closet, which I'll show you my sneaker closet, it's like shoes and denim.
That's nice because you don't have to make many choices.
Dude, and literally I have a drawer of like white t-shirts, black t-shirts.
A little Steve Jobs action.
It's just... it's like which jeans and it's what color.
That's a better t-shirt way to live anyway, because like brands, it's such a... losing thing to like buy into brands to wear, to be seen wearing a brand. Like I'm so much more into the more scaled back type clothing now, even though got it. Like I sell t-shirts with my brand on it, but
no,
as far as daily,
yeah,
it makes more sense to me to, cause then you don't have to be switching out brands. Like a brand could get diluted by going to Walmart and then you're like, all right, well now I don't care about this brand. Like just not even deal with that.
I just took a load of, what do they call it? Replica. I got really into like finding the best replica Gucci stuff a few years ago. And like I was
from the streets.
I was buying directly from China. I was like, there's a subreddit about like, what do they call them? It's like not, I forget what the name of this is, but I mean, you can get anything. You can get like anything made in China that's like a ripoff, but like there are some that are like really, really well made. So I was just I was hunting for the closest possible like Gucci stuff.
And I like would buy, I'd get DHL shipments and stuff. And really like out of all, everything I ever got, the thing I wore the most was like that classic, remember when Gucci a few years ago, they probably still have it. Like just that classic, like throwback white shirt with like the Gucci belt, like the Gucci belt with the, it said Gucci
green. And, yep.
I mean, in like retail, that shirt was like $600 or something. Like, nope.
So stupid.
But I bought one on, you know, I don't know.
Some Russian website.
I tracked down who made the most authentic looking one. And I bought one for, you know, $20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then after shipping and everything, it's probably like 50,
mm-hmm.
but still.
Made by a child.
Made by, yeah. Sorry. They did a good job.
Great job. Well, Matt.
Are we going to end on that? I feel like that was like, I don't advocate
child labor.
Child labor. I'm not.
What's your other than the European shoes, what are your favorite pair of sneakers to wear right now?
Dude, probably my Turbo Green Jordan 1s.
Turbo Green.
I erased the you know, they put that print on the side that said like OG. It was dumb. I don't know why they did it. Like,
I'm gonna have to see these.
Yeah, they put like a little thing on the bottom of them that was like OG1. It was like, I think it was supposed to be like some kind of like, yeah, like people like riding on shoes, right? Because like that's what Virgil does. And it was like, it was just like stupid. And so I found a guy on YouTube who like walked you through like, yeah,
you this can how you use get rid of it?
Acetone and a cotton swab and it'll come right off. And it did. And they are awesome. So Turbo Green Jordan 1s.
You've also gotten lucky on the Travis Scott ones. I remember this. Did you get the Travis Scott 6s?
I got the Travis Scott 4s.
The blue ones.
The blue ones.
Those are sick.
I got the ones.
The ones are sick too. Did you sell those?
These.
Did you keep
them? I did sell them, man. I
sold out to the game.
You know, but what I did is I sold those and I bought
orphanages.
I bought a pair of shoes that like I will have forever. That I was looking at it, I'm like, okay.
None of those shoes will last forever. None of those Nikes will ever last forever.
I'm going to buy like a really good pair. I bought a really good pair of Chelsea boots.
Okay. And you'll wear those.
Vibergs.
I have no idea what that is.
Viberg makes the best boots. They make them at Vancouver, BC. And I'm like, okay, $700 pair of boots.
That's expensive.
I would not ever be able to justify spending that much money on a pair of shoes. And because of, you know, that I was like, all right, I'll just buy these boots.
Right. Cause you were able to sell the Travis Scott ones probably for $1,200.
I think I got like a grand for them or something.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. It's crazy, dude.
It's basically free money.
It is free money.
You just got to get lucky. I mean, that was, you hit on sneakers.
And I have not I've tried the Virgil fives, the Off-White
I tried
fives,
those too.
Didn't
yeah.
get them.
Yeah.
I tried, there was another pair recently I tried and
I got the Off-White Dunks, the most recent ones.
Oh, you
the
did?
Red ones, yeah.
Oh, nice.
I sold those, but
you did?
Yeah.
I think there was another pair I tried for and didn't get. You know what I'm really trying? I really want bad as the Mars Yard. I think they're gonna like this spring they're gonna like release those again. I really want to get those.
Did you get the Sean's on sneakers or did you buy those at a store or something?
I think I got these at a store.
Okay.
I think I got these at a store.
Rooted?
Yeah.
Shouts out to Rooted.
Yeah. Have you connected with those guys?
Or not while I'm here, but okay. I've talked with them. I'm running out of time, but maybe when I'm here next. I was with Chris McClarney earlier. We went to Toby Mac's store in Franklin, Citizen.
Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. They don't have a ton of like all the super hype sneakers, but they had a ton of like streetwear, a lot of Bape stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
And one of the owners, Damien, super cool and let us open it up early for us and stuff.
That's cool.
So, all right. Well, I've taken plenty of your time. If anyone wants to connect with you on the interwebs.
MattWertz.com. My last name is WERTZ. It's like Hertz Rent-A-Car with a W.
Nice.
And they don't
You've
pay
explained
me.
That before, haven't
I
you?
I have, yeah. And they still don't pay me. They don't even give me a deal on cars.
Renting a
Hertz
car
is expensive.
Incredibly expensive. Yeah. And make sure to buy his album on March 20th.
Yeah, which is coming up. Renderings Volume 1 on vinyl or stream it wherever you stream.
Absolutely. We'll buy it on vinyl so he can make a little profit margin.
It's pretty
there.
Dope. It's blue. Blue vinyl.
That's dope. Matt Wirtz, thanks for taking the time.
Dude, thank you so much, Tyler. Love. Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Breeches and Sneakers podcast. If you didn't listen to what I told you to do at the beginning, you still have time to head on over to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button, leave a rating and a review. It's super helpful to me. Appreciate when all of you do that. And if you want more content, head on over to Instagram and Twitter at Breeches and Sneakers, as well as YouTube and online at breechesandsneakers.com. Tons of content if you want it. You probably don't, but it's fine. It's there if you want it. And I just appreciate you spending the time listening to the pod. Hope you got something out of my conversation with Matt. And hope you tune in next time for the next episode of the Breeches and Sneakers podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.